Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We've got a balmy 43 degrees outside in the Twin Cities, overcast skies, but it's breezy. Wind out of the north at 19. It's 7:08. Sports to the max on a Wednesday. Eric in for Mike. Thanks so much for tuning us in. Susan Blanche is our studio coordinator, and Laura Oakes in the newsroom. Now, Maxie is down I-35 about 4 hours away in Des Moines, Iowa, and he joins us now. How you doing, Maxie?
Good. How are you, Eric?
Great to have you on. I know it was a short trip, a quick trip. I assume it was a fun trip down into the capital city of Iowa.
Well, it's so picturesque when you drive through Iowa at the end of March, you know. a little snow in the ditch, and that's about it. And you make good time on a nice day like this. It's a straight shot, 35W, as you well know, Ian. Chris Cruz, photographer from Channel 4, and I made the journey, and it was an easy one. And you're just glad there's no snowfall or blizzards, but it's an easy commute for Gopher fans to get down here. We just left a Gopher party at Johnny's Hall of Fame bar, sports bar, and decent showing so far, Gopher fans. Not overwhelming at all. It's not like you see maroon and gold everywhere. And I would think, even though it's an 11:15 game, that there'd be plenty coming to town tonight and tomorrow yet to try to get a look at the Gophers, because I think it's still a pretty easy ticket.
Yeah, no question, Maxie. And you know, how many times have we seen Iowa fans invade TCF Bank Stadium or the barn? Now, I realize this isn't Minnesota versus Iowa, but as you said, the trip is easy, especially if you're in the South Metro. You can get on that freeway and be down there in about three and a half hours. So if you want to see hoops and support the Gophers, this is a great chance.
Yeah, I ran into folks from Owatonna, 2.5 hours was all it took them on their journey. So, and like I said, it's an easy drive, as you know, down 35W. And yet at the same time, it speaks a little bit to where maybe the Gopher program is, and not just this year, but in general. People certainly pay attention, and they're excited about them playing Louisville tomorrow, but it's not the fever pitch that we used to have back in the 80s and the 90s with this program, or 70s, 80s, and 90s, really, when at a time when they were kind of the king of the winter sports season in this town. Now it's been that playing field has been leveled, so it's not the same intensity. It's not in 97, Eric, you and I covered them in the final when they're on the road to the Final Four, and obviously when you win a Big Ten championship, you build quite an audience in the process. But even prior to that, the Sweet 16, the Final Eight, there were some of those, and you just felt like all TV sets, all radios were tuned in to Golden Gopher basketball. That's really not the case anymore. It's not that they're not a big deal. They're just not as big a deal as they used to be.
What kind of a fan base are you seeing, Maxie, from Louisville? Because in that city, if you were to rank the priority list of importance, it's Louisville basketball, the Kentucky Derby, Muhammad Ali was from there, and the Louisville Slugger Bat Factory. I mean, the Cardinals are a big deal. Have their fans followed them in?
I mean, they're a good question, and I can't give you a good answer because they practiced before we got here. So we were not in the arena at the time that Louisville was practicing. It's an open session for fans to attend. And that's where you kind of get you can judge what the base is going to be like, how many people are there. Michigan is here, obviously. Montana is here. Michigan State, we were at their hotel today. So there's a smattering of those fans. Hard to tell how many are actually here, though, because, we just got here in time to see a couple of the practices, et cetera. You do see a lot of Iowa and a lot of Iowa State. Obviously this is Big Ten country and Big 12 country for that matter. So a lot of Iowa and Iowa State fans, just in general, their teams both in the tournament as well. But this is the easy drive for them, and you see a lot of people with those colors and wearing those kind of sweatshirts here today.
All right. Everybody's talking about it. Richard Pitino, of course, his father Rick, used to be the head coach at Louisville, had tremendous success down there, winning a national championship. And that link and his his history, his pedigree with that program, but he's tried to downplay it, hasn't he?
He's tried to downplay as much as he can. He's pretty realistic about it. He understands that that's going to be the focal point of the media. I just had a visit with Kevin Harlan, who will call the game. And Eric, you and I know him from his days at Timberwolves, of course, now national broadcaster with CBS and beyond. And I was just talking about how he preps for it. And that's the obvious storyline to him. And then he says, in addition to that, he says, I'm very interested in the Amir Coffey story because I actually did play-by-play when his dad played for the Timberwolves. So he says, I love that part of the story. And on a national level, but he said the Pitino one is the obvious one that everybody gravitates to. Richard made it clear that Rick will be in Greece and the season is going on there, and so he's coaching over there, so he won't be a part of this. I, I said, you might want to watch real close though for an earpiece in Richards and see if anybody's talking to him during the game, because I got to believe that, you know, not many of these kids have Rick Pitino ties, but a couple of them do.
Yeah, and you never know what kind of an influence Rick might have on Richard, even if he's across the pond. Now, you look at these teams, Maxie. Minnesota goes in as a 10 seed, Louisville a 7 seed, Gophers 21-13, Cardinals 20-13. They look even on paper, but I know Louisville played the sixth most difficult non-conference schedule in the nation. Does that mean anything?
I think it does to an extent. You know, the big thing one with them was it wasn't the win; it was a loss. They were ahead by 22 points and ended up getting beat. And that kind of became not a signature game, but certainly it called attention to the fact that they'd come a long ways, and it called attention to the fact that they hadn't quite didn't quite get over the hump or had an identity yet where they close out games. But it does tell you how good they are. If you can get a 22-point lead on Duke, you got something special. Louisville's got a new coach in Chris Mack with a lot of success behind him. Xavier, of course, he had great teams there. J.P. McCurr out of Lakeville North is part of that team, that program. And he knows what he's doing, no question about it. I think he's 22 or something like that, the NCAA tournaments he's been involved in as a player, an assistant coach, and a head coach. So he knows what he's doing, but they had to bring some grad transfers in, and they kind of cut and paste this thing together, too. Now, it's not hard to get talent to come to Louisville because the tradition is so rich, but it's still hard to get a team to be cohesive for an entire year. And if you look at their body of work, they look a little bit like Minnesota that way, where it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. About the time you think that they're a juggernaut, they get beat and vice versa. So I think there's just one of those teams that live and die with it, and they're still trying to get their feet wet under Coach Mack and figure out who it is that they are.
I think you would agree with me that someday Jordan Murphy will have a banner at the barn, second leading Big Ten rebounder all time, averaging a double-double this year, almost 15 points a game, almost 12 rebounds a game. He has been incredible, Maxie. We here in Minnesota know that. If the Gophers were to go on a tournament run and Murphy were to have more success, I would think more people are going to say, wow, this kid can play.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot the ball that well for a big guy. Now they often shoot the ball pretty well. He goes outside. Richard Pitino told me he works on it. He hasn't mastered it, and the ability to hit the three. So the concern tomorrow is that Louisville likes to run up and down the court, and their big guys like to go outside and shoot it, that they're going to run Murphy all over the court. In other words, if Murphy wants to play, he's going to have to leave the post in the area that he's so familiar, his comfort zone, which is down there in the low block, and he's going to have to go out and guard these guys, and that's going to be a strategy, A, to try to tire him out, and B, to get him to commit some stupid fouls. He is prone once in a while to committing fouls, and that's a big part of you know, whether the Gophers survive or not, is if he gets into foul trouble. So I would think Louisville is going to attack him in a different way, almost a passive-aggressive way. They're going to run him, and they're going to make sure that whoever he's guarding, because they all shoot the three pretty well, moves out there and keeps him out of the low post and tries to tire him out and get him into foul trouble.
Mike Max joining us from Iowa here on Sports to the Max. I'm Eric Nelson here back in Minneapolis. Gophers and Cardinals tomorrow morning, they'll tip it off at 11:10 at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines to get March Madness underway. And, you know, Maxie, the Gophers don't see a lot of teams that rely on the three ball. Michigan certainly would be one, but they don't see a ton of them. Here comes Louisville, and they like to hoist up the three. Can Minnesota defend it?
Yeah, you know, Michigan's been a great, you know, they've lost to Michigan three times, once close.
Yep.
At Michigan and not close at Williams Arena and at on a neutral site in the Big Ten tournament. So I don't think they can necessarily defend it. I think it's a question of if Louisville can make them. I mean, it's live by the three, die by the three for them as well. And so you don't know. Sometimes you can leave a team in an open gym and they can't make threes. It's just one of those things. And I would guess that Louisville knows how to get shots at this point in the year. They know how to create those shots. And so I would think, you know, Gabe Kelstra create some havoc for him. He can run. He's good on people. We saw what he did against Edwards for Purdue. He gave him fits for two games. He can do some things in terms of shutting people down. But in general, when I look at the tape of Louisville, it looks like they get their shots. The only question is, will they go in? If they go in, they'll win the game tomorrow.
Do you like the Gophers' chances? I seem to hear people saying, yeah, wow, this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I like the chances a lot. I just think a 10 against a 7 is a, it's a pretty razor thin, as you know. When you look at college basketball in general, you go seeds 5 through 12, maybe even 4 through 12. there's not that much difference. I mean, some of the number one seeds, you got to tip your hat to. And even like Gonzaga's number one seed, I don't think they're that strong. I'd rather play them than Michigan if I was in the NCAA tournament. But I just think these are coin toss games. Like I said, Louisville makes threes, okay. If Jordan Murphy gets in foul trouble, Gophers are in trouble. If Amir Coffey doesn't score more than 20 points, Gophers are in trouble. If Amir Coffey does score more than 20 points, if Jordan Murphy stays out of foul trouble, Gophers could win easily.
How much confidence do you think Minnesota garnered at the Big Ten tournament? They were impressive with the overtime win over Penn State, then knocking off Purdue again. Granted, they got battered by Michigan, but it would seem to me that was a confidence builder for Minnesota.
Yeah, I think overall it was. To beat Purdue twice, it kind of proves your point. And Richard Pitino's played on that this week. You'd be one of the better teams in the country two times in about a week. And so that's where you go to for it. And, you know, all the teams that are in this tournament have a couple of signature wins or they wouldn't be here. For the Gophers, it's Purdue twice and Wisconsin on the road. Not a lot after that, not a lot of big wins. They've been in games, et cetera, but not a lot of big wins for them other than that. So, you know, I do think that, you know, you got enough veterans on this team with McBrayer and Murphy and Coffey. You should be a pretty confident team going in.
Now, before you go out and rip it up in downtown Des Moines tonight, what are we going to see at 10 o'clock on the news?
Kevin Harlan had a chance to visit with, and so we'll bring you that. Plus, we're with the Gopher fans, the band, the cheerleaders, the dance team, father, son. They all gathered at one watering hole, and we'll bring you that. Plus, we'll break this matchup down in preview. Plus, state tournament, basketball, high school tournament. So a lot going on there, and some good games today. Well, they're still going on throughout the day, so we'll have highlights of that as well.
And Maxie, you and all the Gopher fans should feel right at home at Wells Fargo Arena. It's home base for the Iowa Wolves and the Iowa Wild.
Yep, and you know, it's not that much different than Target Center. It's kind of got the same feel as Target Center in terms of distance from the court to the seats. They don't have the NBA front row seating, but I mean, it's kind of that same feel. It feels like an arena that's a city-owned arena. It's not a college, where atmosphere is big. It's just kind of a standard city-owned arena. I've seen the Iowa Wild play hockey here before, and it's different for them a little bit. But it's a nice building. It suffices, and I would think with eight teams, Michigan travels well. Of course, coming off a national runner-up season, I would think they should be pretty close to filling that building up tomorrow.
All right, good stuff, Maxie. Have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Eric.
All right, very good. He's Mike Max. He's down there in Des Moines. He will be covering the Gophers and Cardinals for CCO Radio and Channel 4. Again, they'll tip it off early tomorrow morning, 11:10 a.m. The mayhem of March Madness will get started at Wells Fargo Arena in downtown Des Moines, Iowa. Gophers are a 10 seed. They're 21-13 overall. Louisville, a 7 seed. The Cardinals are 20-13 on the season. Should be a lot of fun. And if the Gophers can get that first victory, then things are going to ramp up here in the Twin Cities around the state of Minnesota as far as March Madness hype goes. Because rumor has it, the Final Four ends right here in Minneapolis in early April. It's 7:21 here on CCO. Sports to the max. It's the hump night edition on a Wednesday. Eric in for Mike. We just heard from Maxie, who is down in the Iowa capital city of Des Moines, getting ready for Louisville and Minnesota tomorrow. NCAA tournament gets underway. 43 degrees outside. Wow. Tropical. Overcast skies, but windy. Breeze out of the north at 19. 7:26 is your time. The boys' state basketball tournament got underway today. We'll get you caught up on the scores. Right now, Minneapolis North leading Esko 56-53. That game in the second half at the Barn. So a tight one there for the Polars. That would be Class 1A. Class 2A scores, we do have a final. Waseca at the Barn today beat Holy Angels 82-62. Games going on as we speak. This one at Target Center, 78-48. Minnehaha Academy leading St. Peter. That is late in that game. And as I mentioned, Minneapolis North and Esko, the 1A game, 58-53 now. The Polars have extended their lead in the second half. Some of the 3A results that we have in from the tournament, get you caught up on those. Bemidji and De La Salle, Islanders win it convincingly, 76-45. That one at the barn. All of these games were at the barn. Princeton 68, Matamidi 63. Waseca cruises past Holy Angels. I mentioned that one, 82-62. And Austin, a winner over Monticello, 68-52. And the 4A games that we can tell you about right now, again, day one boys basketball tournament. And Maple Grove loses to Park Center at Target Center, 77-56. And the Pirates have an exceptional team this year. Eden Prairie, Lakeville North, and Lakeville North wins that one, 73-48. Hopk crushes Cambridge Isanti, 86-53. And Eastridge over Eastview, 78-41. Those games played at Target Center. We do have Jim from Brooklyn Center waiting on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and God bless each and every one of you. I'd like to send one request out to my mom, who's now deceased, Anita Medrano Ramirez. Please, I just wanted to send that out, and I really like the way the Gophers got their chance to set up for tomorrow. They are coming in as the serious underdog, and I'm saying that with authority. They have to play their hearts out. They got to box out. They got to do the fundamental things that can help them proceed and win the game and move on in the tournament. It's a very big game, and Richard Pitino knows that.
Thanks, Jim. Love the passion. Love the enthusiasm. He's fired up for March Madness. Gophers and Cardinals. Yeah, he said they got to box out. You know what? Rebounding. The team that dominates the glass probably will win. It's not sexy. You don't see it on the highlights on ESPN, the other cable networks, your local news. Nobody shows a guy getting a rebound and a putback. But without that kind of grinded out basketball, you're not going to win a lot of games. Pat Riley said way back in the day, no rebounds, no rings. That's what he told his Showtime LA Lakers. So I think that's still applicable here in 2019. We'll see what the Gophers do tomorrow when they take on the Louisville Cardinals at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. And if you're part of Gopher Nation and you're wondering, should I go? Yes, you should. It's an easy drive. If you got up and left at about 5:30 in the morning, make sure you beat the traffic heading south on I-35. You would be in Des Moines by anywhere, depending on where you live in the Twin Cities. You'd be there between 9 and 10, and you could get yourself a ticket on the street. So if you're a fanatic, you got to get down there and support your team. It's 7:30 here on Sports to the Max on CCO. We're getting our groove on Sports to the Max on a Wednesday, the Hump Night Edition. Eric in for Mike, 43 degrees, 7:35. Here in the Central Time Zone. Next hour, we'll go back to Des Moines. Marcus Fuller will join us. He covers Gopher basketball for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. We'll get his takeaways on what may or may not happen tomorrow at Wells Fargo Arena when a 10-seed Minnesota takes on a 7-seed Louisville as they get things started in the mayhem known as March Madness. Twins today, as Grapefruit League play continues. They played in Fort Myers, got beat by the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-5. Holmes the winner, Morin the loser. Maurer the save for the Pirates. That's Maurer, not Maurer. Don't be confused with the now-retired Joe Maurer. And the Twins, if you're wondering about some of their offensive studs, C.J. Cron, 2 hits, 2 runs scored. And Jonathan Scope, 3 for 3, 2 runs scored, 2 RBI. Scope had a home run in the ballgame. And that's a guy that our next guest is very high on, Al Newman, 2-time World Series champion with the Twins, 87 and 91. He joins us now from a bus on his way down to Fort Myers leading a spring training tour. I understand you're in Atlanta, Al. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me on again, Heath. Yes, we bet it down for tonight. We're right outside of Atlanta, and we'll be in Florida tomorrow.
Now, I was down there for the Super Bowl. Did you go to the Varsity? That's one of the huge hangouts for people to eat, the Varsity.
No, I saw it, and you know what? We wanted to get on the other side of downtown Atlanta, so in the morning when we got out, we'd be outside of traffic. But I tell you what, traffic is simply amazing here. Everybody on the bus pointed at the Varsity. but we had to announce that we cannot stop there and eat at that restaurant.
Yeah, and I love driving through downtown Atlanta, I-75, 85. You know, you're talking 6 or 7 lane freeways in each direction.
I counted them, seven lanes across, and I tell you what, they drive as if it's, what's that old video game, Mario, not Mario,
yeah.
Pac-Man.
Yeah.
It was like Pac-Man, cars jumping in and out of lanes. It was unbelievable.
Well, it's NASCAR country down there, Al. You got to adapt.
It sure looks like it, believe me.
And of course, the Braves now have left downtown Atlanta, Turner Field. They're up in the burbs in suburban Cobb County.
Well, you know, it was amazing because people were saying, Al, you hit your only major league home run in Atlanta. I go, yeah, they've had 2 stadiums since then. So, I did bring that up, you know, because they do have that Hank Aaron marker, you know, at the previous stadium. They had it out in the parking lot where the original stadium was, Fulton County. And I tell people, yeah, that's exactly where I hit my only home run, was right where Hank Aaron hit 715. So 716 total, I think we both had a pretty good career.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And you were texting me earlier in the day that you toured some spots in Atlanta. You ran into a young fan who, when the Twins won the World Series in 91, was pretty disappointed that his Braves couldn't get it done. But he forgave you, is that correct?
Well, after we took a photo together, he told me he was 8 years old in 91 when we disappointed him. When he saw our bus, we took the Civil War tour today up in Chickamauga Battlefield. We went to Civil War battlefield, and we got the history and learned that Minnesota played a major role in one of the initial battles of the Civil War. So when he saw our bus was from Minnesota, he got on. The first thing he said was he knew this was going to be a tough crowd because we beat him in 91 when he was 8 years old. And one of the people on our trip said, well, Al Newman was on that team. And he turned and looked right at me. And he goes, thanks a lot. So I took a picture with him at the end.
All right. Nothing like a Kodak moment to ease his pain. Al Newman, our guest here on CCO. Eric in for Mike, Sports to the Max. He's on his way to Fort Myers leading a spring training tour. Now we're deep into the Grapefruit League, Al. As you know, the Twins and Indians will open up for good a week from tomorrow. You'll hear it here on CCO. 3:10 first pitch opening day. It's going to be great. Justin Morneau throwing out the first pitch. What are you looking for out of the Twins? What are you trying to pick up on in these final days of the Grapefruit League?
Well, I'm looking at momentum. I know one of the first things I looked at is their spring training record. Yes. You can say spring training is not important as far as wins and losses are concerned. But I think for a new manager and a new group of guys, I think momentum going into the season. I looked at their record after today's loss, which they were leading 5-0. They're now, 13-11 or 13-12, which is not bad considering that you're playing everyone and you're just now starting to try to set up your lineup as you want it. As spring training comes to an end. But I'm looking for consistency from the starters. Pineda gave 5 strong today. And guys like Scope, as you mentioned, hit a ball out of the ballpark. So Crone had a few hits today. So I think things are coming around, and I think they're building momentum. I've watched Cleveland play quite a few games on the network, and I think they have some deficiencies, although they are a very good ball club.
Byron Buxton is batting .438 in the Grapefruit League. Now, we realize, you know, in 8 days, that doesn't mean squat when he goes to the plate against Cleveland. But for a guy who had really a miserable, Al, 2018, banged up, you know, couldn't really get into a groove offensively, didn't get called up for September, this has to be encouraging.
Yes, it is. He's had good springs before. And then gotten off to horrendous starts. But I think the change in mindset that's been written about and he's discussed himself on radio and television, I think he has matured somewhat. Maybe the fact he didn't get caught up in September has worked in his favor somehow, some way, even though, you know, he was very disappointed. But I think he's got a different mantra this year and hopefully with less pressure because of the stretch of the lineup with the addition of Cruz and Crohn's and Duda and those type of batters, hopefully his true potential can start to shine through.
I think most of us, Al, believe the Twins will hit, and hopefully Miguel Sano comes back ready to go in May after the foot heals up. Pitching-wise, as you know, it's going to come down to pitching. Do they have enough in the rotation, middle relief, and then at the back end?
For me, the question is, I mean, they've got number three starters with Berrios possibly being a one or true number two. I think they have enough starting pitching. My only question is that back end, 7, 8, 9. Knowing Bardelli, maybe he'll just go with whoever's hot. Maybe that's the way we should go instead of designating one guy as a particular closer. I think he may just go situationally to close out ball game. For me, it seems to be the best way to go.
Earlier in the week, former Twin skipper, Hall of Famer Paul Molitor showed up in Fort Myers, and he tried to do it under the radar, Al, and didn't want to, upset the apple cart, visited with Rocco Baldelli. But I thought the way Molly handled it was pure Paul Molitor, all class, not trying to come in bitter or anything, just, hey, I wanted to bring my kid down to Florida, and I'm here to shake some hands.
Sure. And, Paulie's definitely a class act. Even before when he didn't get the job, when Gardenhire got it way back, he was around the ball club, went and helped out in the minor leagues, and when his chance came, he got the gig. That's Paul Molitor. That's who he is. And I'm sure the players were happy to see him, and Rocco took it the right way.
All right. What's going to be your message to the fans on the bus, those people who are part of Twins territory, Al, as you get closer to Fort Myers and Hammond Stadium, CenturyLink Sports Complex? How do you handle it? Do you have a monologue you go through? I know you've done this before.
Well, I tell them that we're preparing our team from day one. We're becoming a team. We're going to be on the road for 2 weeks, taking in a lot of sights and sounds, and we've got to look out after each other. And, and I tell stories along the way because I did play in the Southern League. So a lot of the cities that we go through, the Chattanoogas, I played down here in Double-A. We run through Memphis. We go through New Orleans. So a lot of these places I've had some activity myself as far as a player is concerned. But I also throw in some Twin stories. And my mantra this year with this group is that, we do have a new manager. I've seen him a couple, two or three times, with the Caravan and Twins Fest, and that the potential that's on this team has excited me the most I have been in quite a few years. So try to be positive. We're going to be, we're going to have lunch right there by the bullpen, so they'll get a chance to interact with some of the players possibly and root them on.
And you bring up the Southern League, Al. And right now, there's a North and a South division. You've got teams in Jackson, Montgomery, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Birmingham, Biloxi, Mobile, Pensacola, Mississippi, and Jacksonville. That's got to be the hottest and steamiest league in all of baseball.
Oh, it's definitely the toughest league in the Double-A division. That's for sure. The travel can be long. And you get off that bus, sometimes you get at the ballpark, it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You go straight to the park and check into the hotel after the game. So it's a grinding league. It's the prospect league, so to speak, because once you get to Double-A, you have major league potential and an opportunity to be called to the major leagues. But, yes, Double-A is definitely a test league. And I know the Twins moved to Pensacola. But the guy today mentioned that he used to watch the Chattanooga team when Doug Minkiewicz was the manager in Buxton and Sano, and all those guys were coming through as top-notch prospects. So he is a Twins fan, but we still broke his heart in 1991.
Yeah, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. that is
what
certainly
name.
Yeah, that is one of the cooler nicknames. A few years ago, my youngest son, Preston, was playing on a team, and they were called the Blue Wahoos, and I couldn't figure out what in the world is a Blue Wahoo. And if you find a Montgomery Biscuits cap, Al, maybe bring one back for me. I'll pay you.
Bring that back there.
That'd be kind of cool.
Pretty sweet. pretty sweet from what I hear.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go. I know you've got a group with you, and you've got to get rested up because I-75 will stretch into Florida tomorrow, and that's going to be cap off a great trip for you as you get down to spring training.
Oh, for sure. And, the people on the bus are very excited. We started out at Target Field and took off from there. So we're excited to get to Florida. The weather has been great. Once we get out of Minnesota, we haven't seen snow since. So thanks for the call, Ian. I enjoy going on with you. Take care.
Oh, now pump up your event coming up. I know that's getting closer.
Oh, yeah, the bowling event, April 28th over at the Shakopee Bowl. Come on out. You have an opportunity. It's from 2 to 5. Help support youth baseball for a couple of middle schools in Northeast Minneapolis. We're teaming with the Police Athletic League and South St. Paul. So if you have a chance, come out. And there's an opportunity. I can throw a strike for $10,000 sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer. So that's awesome. And if you get a chance, like I said, come on out and support.
And the good news for you and your, fans on the bus, when you get back here, the snow should be gone.
Well, that's awesome. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Al.
Bye.
All right, Al Newman, two-time World Series champion with the Twins in 87 and 91. How much fun is that? The bus left Target Field a few days ago, and they're driving all the way down to Fort Myers, the southern tip of Twins territory. And you think about the great things along the way. To me, there's nothing better than a road trip. If you're not in a hurry, and you can get in a car or on a bus or even a train. It's just a fabulous way to discover America. And as Al said, they toured the Civil Rights Museum and the Civil War-related stuff in Atlanta today, and he ran into a Braves fan who was 8 back in 91 when the Twins crushed his young hopes, beating Atlanta in 7 games, 4-3 to win the World Series. It's 7:49 here on CCO. 43 degrees, overcast skies, wind out of the north at 19, 7:54, sports to the max. On a Wednesday, hump night, Eric in for Mike. He's down in Des Moines. He will be at Wells Fargo Center tomorrow when the Gophers and Cardinals of Louisville tip off the NCAA tournament. Minnesota, a 10 seed, Louisville, a 7. And, of course, if the Gophers win, they will play on Saturday. If they lose, they'll pack up and come back north. It'll be quick. Whoever loses tomorrow, the euphoria of getting into the tournament will be gone fast. It will vanish in a heartbeat. ESPN reporting that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have hired Lori Locust and Maral Javadafar, making the Bucs the first NFL team with 2 female coaches on their staff. Of course, Tampa Bay's new head coach is Bruce Arians, former HC in Arizona. Locust and Javadafar are the first female coaches in Tampa Bay history. Locust will be the assistant defensive line coach, and Javadafar is the assistant strength and conditioning coach. So Tampa Bay blazing some trails with the hirings of 2 females. And I'll tell you what, you look at NFL coaching staffs now, and it's amazing how many coaches come with a team. It's anywhere from, 20 to 25. We're probably getting north of 25 now. It's just mind-boggling how many coaches are part of an organization. And once upon a time, it was much different. You had a head coach, a couple of coordinators, some position coaches, and you called it a day. But now everything, of course, has grown by leaps and bounds, and they got to micromanage everything. That's just the way of the world in the NFL. How about Mike Trout? If you just woke up after a 48-hour slumber, you may have missed the fact that he signed a 12-year, $430 million contract with the L.A. Angels yesterday. That shatters previous records. Trout is a 2-time American League MVP. He's also won a couple of All-Star Game MVPs, including one right here in the Twin Cities in 2014. I was at that game at Trendy Target Field. Mike Trout will get an average of nearly $36 million a year, topping Zach Greinke's previous record average of $34.4 million with Arizona. The $430 million plus is more than 30% larger than the $330 million deal Bryce Harper signed with Philadelphia. So how much money is Trout getting? He's getting enough to afford to live in Orange County. And that's saying something. It's rather costly out there on the left coast. 757 here on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.